7:40 at WEOL. Craig, you know, the Indians are going through spring training, getting things prepared for the games that count.
Mm-hmm.
Today is our spring training for our election night.
That's right.
Because tonight, or today, this afternoon, or this, what are we, this morning, here we are with David Arredondo and also Tom Orlando, Lorain County Clerk of Court, joining us this morning. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Now, of course, on election night, Tom will be joining John Bender, former state representative, City of Elyria school board member from some years past. John has said this will be his final go-round. He wants to be in on this presidential election year cycle, so we've invited Tom in as well to, you know, follow in John's footsteps, so to speak, and we thought we'd get Tom and David here together after yesterday's Super Tuesday. David, let's start with you. Mr. Trump won, what, 7 states yesterday?
I believe that's correct.
Mr. Cruz, 3.
3.
And a caucus for Mr. Rubio.
Right, that's correct.
Okay. Now, you've said before on the program, it's all about delegates.
That is correct.
So where do we stand today?
I don't have the exact totals, but I thought I saw somewhere that Trump had about 285 and Rubio had 100 or something. I'm not Rubio. Cruz had better than 100 and Rubio had 87 or something along those lines. And I think Kasich had 20 or something like that. So, yeah, there were a lot of delegates that came out yesterday. But when you have 2,400 delegates, you still have a long ways to go when you have fewer than 600 that have been selected so far.
Now, again, you are designated as a Marco Rubio delegate.
That is correct.
At the convention. Mm-hmm. Chuck Todd tweeted out this morning, Cruz and Rubio camps are no longer pretending they can win this nomination before Cleveland. Both camps now pushing convention scenarios. What do you think about that assessment?
Oh, I think that is what is the only possibility right now that would perhaps impede Donald Trump from outright getting the nomination. Something else that I've said all along from the beginning, and when we had 17 candidates at that particular time, that they weren't necessarily running against each other. They were running against subgroups that they were part of. We had the Tea Party folks, we had the outsiders, we have the insiders, we have the centerists and the moderates. And the only five people left standing are 3 outsiders and 2 insiders. And it's very clear to me that as long as Cruz and Trump and Carson are in there, they're going to split the outsider vote among them. Similarly, with Kasich and Rubio there, we can see where, Kasich cost Rubio probably the state of Virginia. And it's likely that that'll be the case in a couple of weeks when we come to Ohio.
One more, David. Do you see all of the candidates hanging around at least through March 15th?
I do. I mean, insofar as they've pretty much stated that Marco Rubio's got substantial money. He's looking to win his home state of Florida that day. Kasich has said that if he doesn't win Ohio, he's getting out. He's running kind of a boutique campaign in which he can pick his spots. But yesterday, with the exception of Vermont and Massachusetts, he didn't do anything outside of the single digits in vote allocation. And Cruz, Cruz really had a great day yesterday. I really have to take my hat off to him. He won Texas big, bigger than what the polls were projecting. He won Oklahoma. He won Alaska. He really posed himself as a serious alternative to Donald Trump. And Carson will stay in the race insofar as he doesn't need to spend a whole lot of money. He's getting media time.
Tom Orlando, welcome to our program this morning. So glad you're here with us.
Good to be here, Craig. Thank
you. Let's talk a little bit about the Democrats yesterday. Hillary Clinton won most of the states. Bernie Sanders won a couple. And correct me if I'm mistaken, but I think Bernie Sanders won Oklahoma, as Ted Cruz did for the Republicans. My question is, I can see Bernie winning in certain states, but why Oklahoma? How did that happen?
Well, if you look at how he has done out west, it's not that much of a surprise. The demographics lined up a little better for Senator Sanders out west. But when you look at, as David spoke to the delegate count, on the Democratic side, you need 2,382 delegates to win. After last night, and the results are still coming in, Senator Clinton has over 1,000 delegates, and Senator Sanders has just under 400. So between pledged delegates and superdelegates, she's quite a bit ahead at this point.
So do you think it's basically over unless some miracle happens?
Absolutely not. I think that Senator Clinton has established herself as the front runner, but Senator Sanders has a very vibrant campaign. He raised over $42 million in February, with the average donation being under $30. Those are very impressive numbers. I also feel that Senator Sanders has brought a lot of different issues to the forefront in this campaign. Senator Clinton has talked about a lot of these issues, but things like college tuition, debt that a lot of our young people across the country are facing, the cost of prescription drugs in this country, which are the highest in the industrialized world, which puts a lot of pressure, especially on senior citizens and surviving spouses as well. And I think he's also really touched on income inequality. It is becoming a serious issue in our country. The difference between what someone makes on the factory floor compared to the CEO has grown precipitously through the years, and we haven't seen this type of income equality since the 1920s. So I think those are issues. Whether Senator Sanders is successful in securing the nomination of our party or not, he has brought a lot of these issues, which are serious issues facing our country, to the forefront.
We've mentioned that David is aligned with Marco Rubio. Do you fall in one camp or the other, Clinton or Sanders?
I am not. I will make my decision when the vote comes to Ohio on March 15th. But I can tell you, as a Democrat, I think that we can be proud of the debate that we're having within our party. I look at the debates that we've had between our two candidates. I look at the town halls, and they're really concentrating on substance and on issues that affect working men and women in this country. So I think as long as that debate continues, whomever is successful from our party, I think their skills will be sharpened, and they'll be better prepared for the fight in the fall.
David, let's talk about that fight for the fall. Actually, let's talk about the convention, if we could, because as I referenced earlier, Chuck Todd from NBC, his tweet this morning about, you know, something might happen at the convention. How does that work? Let's say, for example, you know, the powers that be in the Republican Party don't want Donald Trump to get the nomination. So what happens come convention time in July?
Well, that's very interesting, because I've been to two conventions, and I've never seen anything that is remotely close to a brokered convention. I believe what you'll have is, if nobody has a majority of the delegates, is all the candidates who do have those delegates will kind of try to reach a consensus as to who of them, or maybe a compromise candidate, would be the best one to throw their votes to. You do take ballots, and you continue to take those ballots as long as there is no majority. Again, I've never seen this process in my lifetime. I know that in history there have been debates where that has been the case, and they've gone through numerous votes. So I just really can't see, I really can't fathom having that kind of a scenario. But if there is no majority, we're going to see that will happen.
Does this mess up the agenda that normally happens at these sort of,
scripted and
type of things?
Yeah, where, it does.
Then it becomes later hours, or goes longer. Yeah, TV doesn't know how to handle it. It goes beyond the...
Yeah, it definitely does. So there will be a lot of time spent on votes until you reach a majority.
You mentioned also about the fact that it looks like when we get to both conventions, there'll still be candidates that are left, not just one person or standing. Does that sort of diffuse where the focus of the main candidate might be? Because there's always somebody right on their heels kind of adding something to the conversation?
Well, for this convention, that would be the case. And again, in recent history, I can't recall too much except for the 2008 election, in which it really did push to the end, in which Hillary was on Obama's heels, although he did have, I think, a significant number of votes already tallied. She was still in it till the end. So,
and I think David's correct there. And really, when you go back to 2008, Senator Clinton at the time, she stayed in the race until June. So we're in early March now, discussing when people are going to leave the race. And we have a very vibrant race on our side. I do believe with two candidates that one of the two are going to have the 2382 delegates needed at the time. So because of the tone of the race on the Democratic side, I think we'll have probably an easier chance of coming together. And I look forward to that happening as it has in the past. I don't see a difference this year.
Once the sides do come together, I heard from different political commentators last night on the various networks covering the Super Tuesday that they expect a drag-em-out, knock-down, nasty kind of campaign coming from both sides. Do you see it that way?
You're talking about the November election?
Yes.
Oh, I believe so. I don't think there'll be any love lost or any holds barred. It's going to be pretty rugged, yeah.
I would agree, and I think it'll be a typical year in the fall, as we've seen in the past. I think right now you have a Democratic president, two-term president, President Obama. Senator Clinton probably reflects the views and policies more in line with President Obama than Senator Sanders. And even though the president hasn't come out endorsed, you kind of get the feeling he's leaning towards Senator Clinton's way, but he has kept that open at this point. So you look and it's basically, in some ways, there'll be a referendum on the 8 years of our president, and Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, is going to want to continue the agenda of President Obama, which he has secured a lot of successes in his years in office. And I think if Senator Sanders is our nominee, he'll want to take some things that the president has done, especially on health care, and push that even in further than we have reached at this point. But when you look at even like health care, and I'm sure that'll be a huge issue in the fall, whoever the nominee is on each side, we have got to the point now with the Affordable Care Act where 90% of Americans are covered with health care in this country. We have 10% out there who still have not secured coverage. And former Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, wants to push the Affordable Care Act further and get those other, the last 10% covered. And Senator Sanders wants universal health coverage, which would pretty much secure health care for everyone. So I think that is going to be a big issue, as it always is and should be. But when you look at where we're at right now on our party and where the Republicans are, I think that a lot of new voters are coming into the process, which is a good thing. I think that Senator Sanders has brought a lot of new voters into the Democratic side, and I think some of the candidates on the Republican side have brought new voters in too. Once you have two nominees, then which side can actually hold on to those new voters and secure those voters? And I think in swing states like our state here in Ohio, that's going to be a big deal.
Let me speak to that turnout, because we've been saying this ever since Iowa, and it's now about 5 weeks that we've had these primaries go. And that is that Republican turnout has been over the top, beginning in Iowa and in every one of the states and caucuses that have been held. Yesterday, I was hearing that many of the states, there was a 50% increase in Republican voting. Conversely, not as significant turnouts of Democratic voters, possibly because of its, no contest or what have you. But I point back to 2008, when the numbers were the opposite, in which there was an outpouring of Democratic voters coming out in their primaries, and it was reflected then in the November election. There is no doubt in my mind that the Republican electorate is motivated. We talk about adding more people to the voter rolls. I think Trump has certainly accounted for that. There are Democrats that I'm aware of that have switched over to vote for Trump and Rubio and for Cruz as well. And here locally, if we want to look at it, to date, there have been over 6,000 people who have voted early or have asked for an absentee ballot in Lorain County. And to give you a clue as to what the ceiling might be, could be 60,000. 4 years ago, we had approximately 51,000 voters in the two primaries in 2012. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that hit 55 or 60,000 this year.
And I think that's a very positive thing for our county. The better participation, the more attention we're going to get as well. And in 2008 was a little lighter year. President Obama was unopposed on the Democratic side, so we didn't really need to push as hard. But I do agree, there is a lot of enthusiasm on both sides. And when we get to the fall, you can very well count on that President Obama's apparatus will also be kicked into gear. And I can tell you, I've never seen a presidential campaign like President Obama ran in 2008 where he actually touched people in the way that he did. And it was on a grassroots level, and I saw that here in Ohio. It was one of the most impressive campaigns I've ever seen run. So you've already seen some of his people line up with Secretary Clinton, some with Senator Sanders. But I think, as David said, there is a lot of excitement. I think in the past, when apathy sets in with the voters, you can see that in the quality of candidates. But when you know that you're getting that type of turnout, it's going to put everybody on notice that people are really paying attention. And I think this is a pivotal year for the presidential election, as we do have already one opening now on the Supreme Court. They're anticipating there are going to be more openings as well. I don't know how many voters really pay that much attention to it, but any percentage of voters that really pay attention that know that that's going to affect their lives in a lot of different ways in the future.
Tom Orlando, David Arredondo with us this morning. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in today. We truly appreciate it. And I know we haven't talked about this, but may we book you for Wednesday, March 16th at the same time to talk about our Super Tuesday.
You're booking our guests on the air.
Exactly.
We had a meeting at the beginning at one point today.
It's the easiest way to do it, isn't it?
We're never going to do that, but okay, yes.
I don't know that I went with that kind of pledge. I don't know.
All right.
I hope to be here, and on election night, we may need some beds here in the studio to stay. Make sure we're here the next morning.
I appreciate the invitation. I plan on coming as well.